not perceived as part of the overhead. So this is a controversial thing, the L word. Do I look like a librarian? And does it matter? And we all have strong feelings about this, don't we? And no, SLA is not trying for another name change, so don't worry about that. But I want you to think about how you would answer these questions. And we actually had a Karen and I don't know where Karen is, had a conversation at breakfast about this, about how are we perceived in our organizations. And certainly in some organizations, the L word is fine. People get what we do. But in other organizations, many of us have different job titles. And I'm curious, how many of you, by a show of hands, do not have a title that has the L word in it? Okay, so a lot of you. So you guys get this. So I guess the main thing about this that I try to share with my colleagues is, does our title demonstrate our strategic value to our organization? It's really important. It doesn't matter what we're called. And I hope that you all picked up this Librarians in Alternative Careers. This is really great, or Adjacent Careers, excuse me, because I've also moved into digital asset management, document management, enterprise content management, using all of the skills that I have from the library world. And there are many things, and I know many of you are doing this, but it's great to know that there are many things and places that we can go where there is money, there are opportunities, and there are a ton of jobs. So just something to keep in mind. So I just want to make sure that we're all aware we have this great skill set and we can do a lot with it. So that's what this slide's about. So we need to know where we're going as information professionals and librarians, because if we don't know where we're going, how are we going to get there? Really important for us to be asking ourselves these questions. So how will we get there to these places? Well, are we going to sit back and wait for opportunities, or are we going to do something about it? And I know that all of you, I'm speaking to the choir here, because you're all here today because you are doing something about it. You're investing in your professional development and in your career. But we have to be proactive, taking risks. And when I say take risks, I often get called on the carpet for this. And what I mean about taking risks is not that we just jump off the edge blindly and fall flat on our faces, though I've had that happen to me, but I've picked myself up and dusted myself off and moved on. But we really need to think about where we can go and then take some calculated risk to get where we want to be so that we can have personal satisfaction as well as career satisfaction. So really important to think about that. Let's not get too comfortable, okay? Change is hard, but we can all change. And sometimes we feel powerless to overcome some of the trends. Maybe there's our companies being bought out. I know in the pharma, at least in the San Francisco Bay Area where I'm from, a lot of my colleagues, they just seem, you know, companies just seem to get eaten up and people get laid off and jobs change. But, you know, we have to be proactive. We can't sit back and we need to invest in ourselves. And that's what all of you are doing by being here today. So this is a great quote from Stephen Abram, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said, LIS, or library and information science skills, are good currency, but only for those with the flexibility and the insight to exploit the opportunities. So we have a lot of opportunities, so please be sure that you're thinking about what those are. So how do we transform ourselves, our jobs, and the places where we work? Well, what are the trends that are happening that impact us that must drive what we do and how we do work? Our value to our organizations must be continually demonstrated and delivered as we transform what we do and how we serve our patrons, students, customers, and clients. This is especially true for those we serve who may think that a library is not of value or have not used library resources for a long time. Maybe they have them pushed to their desktop and they don't realize that we're the ones behind making sure that they get what they need when they need it. So we need to make sure that we're shouting that from the rooftop so they know it's us behind what they're getting that helps them to look good. You know, we're all being asked to do more with less. And we all know that. But what is really important is not waiting to be asked. We must be proactive, letting go of services and resources that our customers don't want or need or care about, and provide the ones that they do need and care about. Only then will we be perceived as invaluable to the organization. So I often talk to others, my colleagues, about this. Are we managers or are we leaders? And where do we want to be on this continuum? So as Alex mentioned, my theme for 2013 is transform knowledge and expertise into strategic value. So we must continually ask ourselves, am I an investment to my organization or am I seen as an expense? We need to know that. And if we're not sure, we need to find out. And then we need to make it so that appear and do the things that will make us be shown as an investment that contributes positively to the bottom line. So we need to forge a brand, and then we need to communicate what that brand is so that everybody in our organization understands the value that we bring to that organization. So we need to make sure that we speak a language that stakeholders understand, that we know the business of the organization, that we know how the organization works, and we need to know where our services are needed and can add value. We also need to know which services are needed and how they should be delivered. We want to deliver them where our users are. And we need to know how to consistently deliver and perform. So we need to make sure that nobody is unsure of the value that we bring to our organization. So in 2011, if you'll remember, Cindy Romaines, who was president then, her theme was future ready. And last year, Brent Mai, who was president, his was agility, career agility. So we became future ready in 2011. We became agile in 2012. And so now we need to move forward to prove our strategic value with these things in place behind us. So how do we express our value to our organizations and our clients? And how do we demonstrate value so that stakeholders turn to us as the experts who connect them to what they need so they see us as essential to the success of the organization? So we want to avoid disintermediation where they think that they can do the research themselves or that they can find the information. And I think probably all of you guys are doing this. Whoops, did I go to the wrong slide? Okay, here we go. So, whoops, wait a minute. Usually I am a much better presenter. I think I'm still on California time as part of the problem here. Okay, sorry. All right, so I skipped ahead. So I just want us to think about this equation, that librarians and information professionals need to be defined in terms of the value and the benefit that they provide to their organizations. So again, we need to positively contribute to the bottom line of our organization, whether we are in a not-for-profit or for-profit institution. You know that even not-for-profit institutions are looking to make money, right, to come out in the black. So we need to still be aware of that. And I'll tell you a quick story. I have a colleague who's a part-time reference librarian, and recently she applied at the same institution to be a full-time librarian. She went through the interviewing process and she wasn't hired, and she was very disappointed. And she actually is a former student of mine, so we talked about it. And so I think where she fell down was in the interview process. Her credentials were great, but also in some of the things that she hasn't been doing at work. So I know her, and I know that she's a great reference librarian. I know she's a hard worker, and she's actually created apps that this library uses and that their users use on their phones and on their tablets and on their computers. But what's sad is she has not shouted from the rooftops the value that she has brought. So those who are the stakeholders don't know all the things that she has done for her organization. And so we have to learn from that. We need to never assume that others know what we are doing and the value that we bring. So that's just a lesson for us, to never assume that our stakeholders know how much we bring to the organization. We also need to make sure that everything that we do aligns with the objectives and the mission of our organization. So I hope that all of you, for your information centers or libraries or your work, have a mission, goals, and objectives, and that they, and you know what? You don't even have to create them. You can just have them be the same ones for your organization so that you'll align with them. It's a really easy thing to do. So if you don't have a mission and goals for your institution within your institution, I encourage you, actually challenge you to do that. And I challenge you to do that, let's see, today's the middle of April, by the end of this month, because if you don't have a deadline, I know we all get busy, things don't get done. So as we expand our skill set and move into expanded areas of information and knowledge management, we are transformed and become invaluable to our organizations, and we do contribute positively to the bottom line. All right, now we're going to go on to this. So what do you want to be? Do you want to be a manager? Do you want to be a leader? We all have heard this before. And really, leadership is about inspiring others to engage and to work. So leadership is important. Even though we may not be a supervisor or manage others, we can still be leaders. So how do we get others to follow us? And I have a great job description that I pulled off. This was actually from last November. I'm trying to remember what website I got this from, but the job title was Associate Manager for E-Content Research. And here's what the essential leadership behaviors that they wanted. So they had, you know, desired qualifications, requirements, and then they had this group of characteristics under essential leadership behaviors that said, anticipates needs and problems while creating solutions, demonstrates a sense of urgency, contagious optimism, and a can-do attitude, is curious, inquisitive, innovative, never satisfied with the status quo, greets challenge and change as opportunity, stretches across borders, breaks silos, and builds effective partnerships with colleagues. And I think those are all characteristics that we should all be striving to do every day in our jobs. It's not easy. We got our jobs to do, right? But we also have to continually change and move into these areas where we might be a little bit uncomfortable. All right. So now I'm going to get to this slide. So make sure that you don't confuse effort with results. Sometimes we get so busy doing stuff that we think is important that we forget what's really important to our stakeholders. And that's where the value that we bring to an organization comes in, is our results, not necessarily the effort we provide. So we have to deliver results and envision ourselves as a key member of the leadership team in our organization. Again, it doesn't matter if we are supervising others, we can still be a leader. When the C-suite goes to meetings, do they go to the Days Inn and share a room? No, they go to a resort, they play golf or tennis for half a day, they have their own rooms, and they wine and dine. How do we act the part? Do we dress for success? Do we act like we are an important part of the strategic team of the company and put our head and our actions there? If we act like we are intruding when we speak to the CEO or others who are at that, that are the stakeholders, we will be treated as interruptions. We have to act like we belong in that C-suite. We may not belong there, but we need to act like we know what we're doing and, again, demonstrate the value that we bring to the organization. We need to become a front runner. So we have to think about, are we the Nordstrom or are we the Walmart in the services that we provide? So it's something I want you to really think about. How do our users and the stakeholders perceive us? Are we in the Nordstrom category or are we seen as the Walmart category? And if you haven't thought about that and don't have it clear in your mind, encourage you to do that, because that's the persona that you want to show to those who are the stakeholders in your organization. Be the professional that we all want to be. It's really important. And use the language of the C-suite. Walk the walk and talk the talk. And the bottom line is, be relevant, be top of mind, and have maximum impact. Commit to change and you'll thrive. We just do it. That's what Nike used to say, right? Okay. So here's just a Wordle that I found actually at the Wordle Gallery, and I thought this was quite good. It has a few things in here. The leadership was a little smaller than I would like it to be, but I think this kind of demonstrates where we need to be and the things that we need to be doing. And so I hope that you'll look at this. You know, value is huge, the competitive value. All of our organizations are competing with others for dollars, for funding, for prestige, and we have a lot to offer in the work that we do. So let's make sure that our stakeholders, again, know what we bring to the table. So I just want to, now I'm going to switch a little bit to SLA and how SLA is supporting us in these things. So commercial alert. Okay, so during 2011, the board of directors of SLA evaluated SLA's long-term goals and objectives, and at the end of the year adopted a three-year strategic agenda to guide its decision-making for 2012 through 2014. So we're smack dab in the middle of that. To supplement the direction of the strategic agenda, priorities have been identified to guide the association's leaders, volunteers, members, and staff toward fulfillment. Each and every SLA member has an integral role to play in order for the agenda to become a reality, a role that is professionally beneficial and that opens up opportunities for us each step of the way. So I want to just talk about the five focus areas for the strategic agenda. I'm curious, how many of you are going to annual conference in San Diego? Ooh, not too many. Okay, so this is your conference of choice, and I totally get that. But maybe by what I tell you at the end, we'll tempt you to reconsider that. The end of my presentation. Okay, so here's the key focus areas. The annual conference. So this is SLA's chief member benefit, and it's its highest priority. And many of the things that are happening for 2013 and beyond is that we are looking at more collaboration between the divisions so that we don't have overlapping programming, so that you also don't get stressed and go, well, gosh, these two things in the same time slot, they're almost the same. Which one do I go to? And also the continuing education courses that are the pre-conference workshops. have been vetted also so that they don't overlap with conference content, because that's one of the things that I know I personally find frustrating is like, where can I be? What can I go to? And why are there so many things that talk about the same topics? The other thing too, of course, as you know, this year it's we've got 3 full days of conferencing instead of 3.5. And then the other thing we're looking at is the SLA's Virtual Worlds Advisory Council is looking for a virtual conferencing in the fall. So stay tuned for that. We'll see how that goes. I just want to talk a little bit about professional development. Here you are at this conference, which is a great SLA membership benefit the division puts on. And so SLA and its units are providing reliable and useful professional development, and it's happening in person and happening online. Creating a richer volunteer experience. This is my favorite one because we're all volunteers, right? And this is the one that I think really helps us to develop as professionals and makes us more strategic and more knowledgeable in the value that we bring to our organizations and to ourselves personally. So what better incentive to become active in the association than the fact that it will benefit your career now and down the road? New skills picked up as volunteers in our chapters and divisions may just be the stepping stones to a promotion or recognition at work, to a new job, or even a new career. And I can tell you that all of my consulting work does come from networking. I can't think of anybody, well, I think of one client in maybe the last 5 years that found me through my website. So it's really important to know about the networking part that comes from these things. New skills picked up as volunteers in our chapters and divisions may be just the stepping stones that you know that we need. Now, SLA allows members to test the waters, learn new skills, and become and bring others along. That's really important. So I hope that if you are volunteering or thinking about volunteering, that you are. My son and daughter were active in Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, and so I'm used to the two deep leadership where you've always got somebody behind you who can step up to the plate that you're training them and bringing them along. And Mary and I were, your division chair, Mary Chitty, and I were talking about this yesterday about how important it is to remember if you're in charge of a committee or you're in charge of any event for SLA or any kind of volunteer organization that you remember to bring others along with you, help them to get the skills, learn to delegate. I can think of no other skill that any employer would want than the ability to delegate responsibly. Because that is a huge soft skill that a lot of people don't have. And that's one that we can develop through volunteering for SLA and other organizations. The next one is opening new markets through collaboration. This is where SLA is working with our vendor partners who are so important to us, and also with iSchools and schools of library and information science to do some partnering that will benefit all the members. Growth through diversity. You know, diversity means a lot of different things, and that's one of the drums I've been beating this year as SLA president, is that diversity means not only diversity maybe in ethnically or where we're from, that sort of thing, but also diversity in what we are doing, the jobs that we have, the tasks that we do, the value that we bring to the table. And we also have a new membership committee that's working with SLA staff and the SLA board of directors to grow SLA through recruiting and retaining a more diverse membership. And they are available for your membership chair, for your division, or if you're in other divisions or chapters, they're there to help you, so don't have to go alone. Okay, just quickly, the new SLA website is up. New content is being added to it every day. I hope you'll take a look at that. If you haven't, there's a lot of great content there. The annual conference, I talked a little bit about that as a springboard for professional development. But just the other thing, too, is that we're looking at is how conferencing is working for other associations, because the model is changing. We're aware of that, and we're not going to keep going with the status quo. Things are changing, and we're seeing what others are doing that's successful. Volunteering, I talked about that. You know, we can volunteer at so many different levels, and I know that we all have different life things going on outside of work and outside of volunteering, but there is something for everybody to volunteer, whether it's a one-time thing or being like these guys down here in the front who organized this whole event, which is a lot of work. I know I've organized things like this. And then the Career Center. I looked at that just recently on the new website, and I was surprised. There are a lot of jobs there. Jobs seem to be coming back. So if you are job hunting or thinking about making a change, go look there. There's a lot there. Or if you're an employer or you are working for an employer who's looking for people, be sure to post jobs there. All right. So I just want to reiterate about the strategic agenda, that really what we're trying to do is acknowledge that, that we are prepared and resolved to make decisions, overcome challenges, and plan forward for the benefit of SLA members. The board's adherence to the strategic agenda in 2012 brought about proactive and creative changes to the SLA's annual conference in Chicago and really insightful market-driven plans for the future conferences. And we're trying to expand our face-to-face and web-based continuing education offerings. So here we are face-to-face, but you know, any unit now can do 24/7, 365 webinars or any kind of continuing education. And one thing on the website, Tony Landalt, who's, I know Reprint's desk is here, and Tony's one of their staff members, he's a San Francisco chapter, that's one of my home chapters, recommended, he says, you know, when I travel for work, I want to know if there's an event going on in a city I'm going to, and I can't find out. So based on that, I brought that to the SLA staff, and part of the new website, if you haven't looked, is this new calendar that but make sure that your unit puts their events in there, and then you can see any event that is going on worldwide with SLA, and most of them are free to members. So even if somebody in Australia, New Zealand's doing a webinar and it's a time when it's not in the middle of the night for us, you can still go online and be part of that webinar. So there's a lot of great stuff. So anyway, this continues to be a roadmap for us as an association as we go forward. And I love this quote from this book called The Volunteerist. He said, each time I volunteered, whether building rock walls in the West Bank or working at a school in China, I felt very much like an idiot. Every experience was new, from the food to the language. I came to cherish my stupidity. And every time I felt dumb, I learned something. So I know that volunteering often isn't for the faint of heart. Let me tell you, do I know that ever? Because I'm spending about 20 hours a week on SLA stuff, volunteering. But I'm committed to doing this, and I'm committed to SLA and to all of us benefiting from our membership. But don't be sidetracked by fear or failure. Volunteer. I started small, and we can all do the same thing. You never know where it's going to take you. So, do you want to change the world? I do. But I want you to think about this image here. Where's your comfort zone? The magic happens usually outside of our comfort zone. So just something to think about. Okay, it's a great quote. Every time you are tempted to react in the same old way, ask if you want to be a prisoner of the past. Prisoner of the past or a pioneer of the future. I think enough said, right? Okay, change. Love it or hate it, but you know what? We can't stop the moving train, right? Change is happening all around us every day. And I'm looking forward when I get my laptop back down there to seeing the Twitter feed to see what people are reacting to and how the changes that we're going to all experience as a result of coming to this conference. So I love this image. It helps me to think about where I'm going, what's coming down the track, and what do we do as, how do we want to be a global information manager? How do we want to be strategic and bring information to those around us that will make us be so valuable they will never, ever consider reducing our staff, downsizing us, or reducing our budget. So imagine what your work can be and then follow that dream. And this is a great quote from Tony N. Hoiberg. He's the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising founder. To find what you love, do what you love. Your dreams are your roadmap. Follow them to the top of the mountain. It is the most amazing view. And I can tell you, last week I was in Denver, week before last, at the AIP conference, and I did get to go hiking up at about 7,200 feet where there was still snow on the ground and the aspens hadn't even budded out, and it was the most amazing view. So think about that when you're doing the work that you're doing and you're frustrated and trying to figure out things. Dream big dreams and then go after them. All right, so now, we have a little contest, and I have flyers here for you that I'll put out. It's called Get on the Beach with Me, and this is the Hotel Del Coronado that you see in the picture here, and this was built in 1888, and this is in San Diego. Coronado Beach was named America's Best Beach in 2012. It's an awesome place, and I have a lot of family there, and go down there a lot and have gone down there a lot. That's where my children learned to snorkel. That's where I learned to boogie board and surf too. And it's a great place to go. And this Hotel Del is what people call it that are local. Was built in 1888, and it's been the favorite locale of kings, queens, and actors, as well as a location for many movies, including Some Like It Hot with Marilyn Monroe, Jack Lemmon, and Tony Curtis. So we're going to go have lunch on the beach. I haven't decided if we're going to go in the Hotel Del or it depends on the weather, how foggy it is. But I hope that you will consider recruiting other people. Or you can enter yourself in if you've been a lapsed member or a new member, and I'll have these flyers, and there's a link that is working. I tested it. So what happens is if you recruit somebody, your name goes in the hat as many times as you recruit somebody. And the person who recruits the most people, there'll be two people who get to go to lunch with me. The person who recruits the most people, they go to the top of the list. So if you recruit 10 members and nobody else recruits that many, and if we have two that recruit 10, you can both come to lunch. Plus all the people that recruit any number below that or however many it is, their name will go in the hat that many times. So if you recruit five people, your name goes in the hat five times. And we're going to do this at the conference in San Diego. So you must be present to win. Sorry, you have to come to the beach to have lunch with me. So that'll be really fun. So, and there's also a link here that'll be in the slide deck that you guys can get the form, but I have a bunch of forms here. And then just the last thing I want to say, I know a lot of you aren't thinking about coming to San Diego, but I hope you'll change your mind. You know, I can't wait to welcome you there. It's a beautiful place. You can go stand on the beach and see pods of dolphins offshore, you know, swimming by. There are endless beaches, there's whales. You want to try boogie boarding, I'm going to have my boogie board with me, so if you want to go, just let me know. I'll take you out to the beach after the conference. And I hope that you'll come early and stay late and bring your families. It's a really fun place to go, and the weather should be really great. And I just want to close with a fun video. Let's see if I can get this to work. Okay, you going to go? If not, I've downloaded it, but let's see if it'll go. Okay. Okay, you know what? Hold on. This is just a cute video that the Annual Conference Advisory Council put out. So let's watch it. And I'm going to have to play the sound here. Let's see if I can get this. Hopefully we'll have sound.
This plan is your plan. This plan is my plan. To San Diego, California, our destination's a great location. This plan was made for you and me. We'll make some new friends, connect with old ones. We'll all go out and hoist some cold ones. A chance to network, or maybe get work. This plan was made for you and me. When virtuality has us cursing, we'll know it's time to meet in person. So let's all gather, we know you'd rather. This plan was made for you and me. We'll go to sessions for what they teach us, but save some time to hit the beaches. We'll be collegial and not vestigial. This plan was made for you and me. We took a fine song, treated it roughly, and so we're sorry. Woody Guthrie, he's turned 100, but it's no wonder his messages still resonate today. Just like the conferences put on by SLA. So make your plans to come to California.
So I want you to know also that there was no SLA money spent to make this video. It was, seriously, the annual, Tim DeWolf and Richard Geiger are good friends in the San Francisco chapter, and they have serenaded us at many a San Francisco chapter meeting, making lyrics up to other famous songs. So I said to the advisory council, I said, you know, we can do this on a, she actually was a no budget. So the committee put together the video, and those guys wrote the song, and or they put away this, you know, together the whole thing. So it cost SLA nothing, but I think it's a really great one that, so I hope maybe you'll reconsider coming to San Diego. So thank you very much.